34. And we'll be in a couple of different places tonight. And anyhow, we're going to look at we're going to look at the subject of worship tonight. And I told our Bible college last night, I dealt with, we were talking about worship, and we got in on worship, and I told him, I said, I'll probably be giving the same illustration tomorrow night. And Lord, just kind of, this direction I feel like we should go. I am very aware of what happened today. I'm very aware of what happened yesterday. And as we've already said 100 times, and I think it's probably cliche, I know who's on the throne. And I didn't wake up surprised that an election was lost. I didn't wake up surprised and that there's turmoil in our nation. There's been turmoil in our nation for years, and we've ignored it, and it's still here. And anyhow, it didn't catch me by surprise. I'll tell you another thing, and no matter what happens in the next few years, there will nothing that happen that God doesn't ordain. That's what having faith is, and the church needs to get some of that. It needs to get a good, I'm talking about a good dose of that. It's putting our trust in the Lord. If this is what God has for this nation, then this is what God has for this nation. Amen. He's delivered us through other presidencies. He's delivered us through other times when all three representatives of ours up there, the House of Representatives, Senate, and the presidency has been one-sided. He's delivered us from that. And so I think, is everybody all right? He's capable of doing it again. Okay. And so let's get our mind off of that just for a little bit and get our mind on him just for a little bit. Is everybody all right with that? Can we do that? All right, so in Psalm chapter number 34, I'm going to read the heading, and then we're going to go somewhere else, and then we're going to come back. Is everybody good with that? All right, so in Psalm chapter number 34, the Bible says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, Abimelech is a title that was given to the king that was over, or the general, the king, over the Philistine. It'd be the same thing as the title of Pharaoh. How many of y'all know that Pharaoh wasn't his name? That was a title that was given to him as Pharaoh, all right? And so we're talking about the same incident that happened in 1 Samuel chapter number 21. I'm going to start with one verse in chapter number 20 of 1 Samuel to kind of get us in line with where David is at in his life when Psalm 34 is written. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to do right here? So we find out from the heading on Psalm 34 when the psalm was written and what occasion it was written. And so we're going to go back and look at just a few things from that story and from that event. And then we're going to come back and see what David wrote about it. All right. So in in 1 Samuel chapter number 20 and in verse number 41 is where I'll begin my reading. And I'm only going to read that one verse. But let me give you a little bit of background. David is in fear of his life because Saul is wanting to kill him. His best friend, Jonathan, whom he loved, doesn't want to believe that his daddy is capable of that or that his daddy would kill David. And so they got together and they devised a plan. And this is the end of that plan. At the end of this plan, David and Jonathan are convinced that Saul is out to kill David. And so in verse number 41, the Bible says, and as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. Now, let me just kind of paraphrase, if I can, just for a second. David is right here in this moment. He has come to the full knowledge that those in authority over him are trying to kill him. Okay? The plan has been made known to his best friend, Jonathan, and Jonathan is helping David through this plan that they devised together. And this through this plan, Jonathan lets David know that, yes, my dad indeed is wanting to kill you. And so from this point on, David is on the run as a fugitive with the king, and with the disposal of the entire armies of Israel at his disposal, is coming after him. All right? For nothing more. Is everybody all right? For nothing more than the man was jealous of David and his accomplishments and what God was doing through him. Okay? And so David, in this story and in this verse, David not only loses any sense of security that he may have, he also lost his very best friend. All right? Now, we know they made a covenant together, and we know that that covenant was strong right up after the death with Mephibosheth. We know that David honored the covenant that was made between him and his best friend. But from this point on, their relationship was not the same. All right? Though they may have loved one another, and though they may have been friends, from this point on, the communication had ceased. Their interaction had ceased. Basically, they were friends at a distance and friends of memory. Is everybody with me? How many of you has lost a good friend? It's not a very easy thing to go through. People come in and out of our lives, and for the most part, we have developed a wall, if you will. We have developed some sense of protection. And there's some people that walk in and out of our lives, and though we miss them and though we don't want to see them go, we can handle it. But there's those that leave out of our life that cut us to the bone. It hurts like a nail cut to the quick. Is everybody with me? It's painful, and it doesn't go away anytime soon. It's something that we live with and we learn to live with, but it hurts, and it's difficult to process and difficult to manage our way through that. David is at this place. So David runs to the high priest. And David runs over there, and at the high priest Ahimelech, he gets there, and the Bible says that Ahimelech didn't even want to talk to David. He was afraid. He had fear that David was there. Why? Because David was a fugitive now. All right? And there, if Saul was to find out that David had come to Ahimelech, Saul would do what Saul did, and that's kill the priest. All right. Now, David comes, and you may not know this story, but David comes and asks him for bread, and he gives David the bread of the tabernacle. And then David asks him for a weapon. Is there not a spear here? And he said, all that's here is the sword of Goliath. And David said, there's not another like it. And so he took the sword. All right. This is where we're going to pick up our reading. In chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, and in verse number 10, David gets the sword in verse number 9. And in verse number 10, the Bible says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Hey, this song got out. It was a number one hit. Is everybody hearing me? You want to know why Saul was so mad? This song had reached other nations. We ain't talking about just some whispers that was going on in the crowd. This is how the people upheld David, exalted David, and they had done it to the point that even their enemies had heard this song and knew it. Come on, y'all, I need some help. They quoting words from to the king. And the Bible says in verse number 12, and David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Does everybody know, everybody see that the greatest warrior ever in the Bible had a beard? Does everybody notice that? I'll move on from that, but I just thought it was interesting that the greatest, the man after God's own heart, had a beard. I'll move on. All right, okay. That's enough of that. All right, so David has found out he has no security now, no safety. David has lost his best friend. David has gone to some other place to seek safety, and he is rejected there. All right. David, y'all help me if I'm all right here, is all by himself. There's nobody else there. There's nobody else with David. There's nobody running around David saying, hey, I got your back. Don't you worry about it. We're going to take care of you. Nobody's doing that. David is being rejected at every place he turns to. There's no safety for him. David is in the wilderness, and at this time he is in the wilderness down around the Dead Sea. And I can tell you about that place, it's a desert place. It's a dead place, sure enough. And David is managing to survive on his own down there at south, and then the Philistine land was west of that. But he is in that area in this wilderness. And David pens Psalm chapter 34, and I'm only going to read the first three verses, all right? And we're going to go from there, all right? So we know the background. We know where David is. We know what's going on in David's life. We know that David has no one to turn to. We know that no friends are there for David. He doesn't have any a stimulus check coming. He doesn't have any help. Nobody to turn to. And the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Of everything of this situation that David could have possibly wrote, David starts this psalm out in praise to God. Is everybody with me? David says, no matter what's going on in my life, I will. Did everybody see that? Did everybody notice? Is everybody's capitalized in there? The will, is everybody that? It's got all caps. I will bless the Lord. When? At all times. Good or bad. I need somebody to help me tonight. Because y'all not being real good at this tonight. We tend to let our circumstances around us dictate our worship. We tend to allow the things of the world to influence how you and I worship the Lord. If things are going good, we come in with a smile on our face. Oh, I got my stimulus check. Is everybody all right? Oh, it's good. I got this or I got that. It's good. I got this. I got that. But when it's bad, we tend to come in and act like the end of the world just happened. Right? David, in one of the most difficult situations. This ain't seasoned David. You understand what I'm saying right here? This isn't the David that's the king and been there for a long time. This is David telling us about an event that happened early in his life. Could you imagine as a young person thinking everybody's against you? Probably some of you have. Some of us have. I know I have. I know I have. Think everything, everywhere you turn, there's no sense of security. There's no place to turn to. Nobody, they no friends. This is where David was at. And yet, what he chooses to pen and what he chooses to write to you and I about, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Listen to what he says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Y'all help me, because y'all quiet tonight. What does that mean to you? Do I now? No matter what, praising. With him saying it's continually in his mouth, you reckon it's just on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night Bible college? Y'all, I need some help. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Do you think that just means all times in corporate worship, or do you think that means at all times throughout my life? David wasn't sitting in corporate worship right here. David wasn't sitting in a church right here. David was more than likely sitting in a cave hiding for his life and writing, I will bless the Lord at all times. He said, his praise shall be in my mouth, continually be in my mouth. In the good and in the bad, he says, my praise is going to be continual. I'm going to praise God for where I am and praise God that he's here with me. Is everybody all right? He says in verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now, David says, I'm going to brag. I'm going to boast. I'm going to brag on some things. He said, I ain't going to brag about killing Goliath. Although that was a good feat. Y'all help me now. I ain't going to brag on the fact that I ended up with Saul's daughter. I ain't gonna brag on, is everybody all right? I ain't gonna brag on the fact that all the women are singing songs about. David said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. David said, ain't nothing about me. See, that's one part of worship right there that I ain't gonna touch on tonight, but I think it's fair to say one part about worship is knowing where you are and compared to who he is. David said, it ain't nothing about me. It's all about him. So I'm going to make my boast. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He said this, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. For somebody to hear, I need somebody to help me right here. If somebody's going to hear it, then that means that somebody has got to vocalize it. They got to communicate it. Is everybody with me right here? I was sitting in a tree stand the other day and a pine cone fell. I watched it. Boom. And you know what? What does everybody's mind go to? If a pine cone falls in the woods, tree falls in the woods, and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Right? Well, I can testify that pine cone hit the ground, it made a sound. Is everybody with me? It projected a sound. And I heard it. David said, I'm going to boast in the Lord, not within. I'm going to go over this side. I'm keeping walking so I don't stove up, all right? I will boast of the Lord, he said, or boast in the Lord. And he said, the humble shall hear. David said, not only am I going to do this continually, but I'm going to communicate it verbally. I'm going to put it out there for everybody to hear. And by the way, the humble that he's talking about here is people like him. People that are in his, not the high ups, not the ones that are sitting on the throne, but the ones that are going through the same thing he is. He said, I'm going to let them know about the Lord. Y'all, that's just good. I don't care what you got to say. All right. He says, I am going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My praise is going to be continual, but he said my praise is going to be communicated too, because I'm going to let others know that the same God that got me through it will get them through it. All right. And then the last verse, number 3 that I read there, this verse says this. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That magnifies to make big. That's what it means. I'm to make big of him. And then let us exalt his name together means to lift up. So I'm going to make him big and I'm going to lift him up in my trouble. But check out what he says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He says, hey, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise is going to be continually in my mouth. He says, I'm going to boast. My soul is going to boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us lift him up. Let us put him where he belongs in our lives. Is everybody with me? And now, this is a sermon that I preached before. And I give you these continual, communicated, and I'll give you the third one. It's contagious. Because when you worship, others will get involved in it. David said, oh, magnify the Lord because I told you to. Oh, magnify the Lord because it's song service in the church. Oh, magnify the Lord because we're singing that song that I like. Oh, magnify. No, David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. All right. So I want to take tonight and I want to just kind of look at this thought of worship. And I'll try to be very quick with it. All right. If you'll let me. I want to look at the outward expression of worship as found in the Bible. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and you write down these references. I'll read them to you, but you write them down. And that way we're not flipping Bible pages and we can get through this thing. But I went and I looked up some ways, some outward expressions of worship in the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right. And here's what I come up with. Did y'all know that one form of worship, outward expression of worship, was clapping? Everybody do it. You say that's in the Bible?
Oh, it sure is. I'm glad you asked.
Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Uh-huh. As for all that think there ought to be no clapping in church, because we're giving... Oh, clap your hands. Is that all right? Is everybody okay? As a form of worship, all right? And that same verse, not only do we find that clapping was a form of worship in the Old Testament, but we also find out that shouting was. I like that. Y'all go right ahead. Why don't you? All right? So we have, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, I don't know about y'all. I need somebody to help me out right here. Mamas, y'all help me out. There's a difference between a regular voice and an outside voice. We have an inside voice and an outside voice. I need somebody to help me. This is Wyatt's voice all the time. It sounds like an Indian coming through the house, all right? I'm talking about the day I get it, about the time I picked up the phone. Dalton's like, why, hush? I'm like, I'll have to call you back. That's all we can hear. Wyatt's got the shout down. We can just get him into the church house doing it. We'll be good to go, right? But here's the deal. An outward expression of worship found in the Bible, not only clapping, but in the same verse it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 11 and 12 says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice." Now, I don't know about you. Let me go back over that number again. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. I'm thinking that was pretty loud. All right, let's do this. Is everybody ready? Let's all shout. On three, we're going to say glory. All right, you got to shout it now. You got to help me. All right, I'm serious. If y'all don't help me, I'm going to pull you up here and you're going to have to dance for us. All right, that's part of worship. I'll prove it in a minute. All right, why you holding your ears, Michelle? Look here. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Glory! Now, you hear how loud that was? Could you imagine 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands saying with a loud voice, glory to God? I'm thinking it's pretty good up there in heaven, amen? I'm thinking some of you listening here, Miss Michelle's going to be up there like this. Y'all can identify Miss Michelle. There's going to be clapping in heaven. There's going to be clapping in worship. We see shouting was an outward expression of worship. But how about this one, singing? Yeah. Amen. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." For everybody that complains about the sound being too loud. Is everybody all right? In the Bible, forms of worship came in clapping, shouting, singing, and according to this, loud music. Don't you hate it when the Bible just ruins everything that you thought? Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Psalm 30, verse number 12, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." So there's clapping in it. There's clapping in worship. There's shouting in worship. There's singing in worship. There's bowing in worship. Matter of fact, the Old Testament word for worship literally means to bow or to kneel. And so there's several passages. Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 27. Job chapter number 1, verse number 20. Psalm 95, verse number 6. And Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 14. We see examples of worship where an individual bows down. We know about it with Abraham. We know about it with Moses. You can just go all through Scripture and you see this form of worship. Now, let me ask you this question before we go on. If the worship was good enough in the Old Testament, do you think it's still good for us today? Now, you got to be a serious hyper-dispensationalist to believe that God has decided that we don't need to worship him anymore. I mean, you got to really turn some scripture around to believe that God didn't create us for the purpose of worship and glorifying him. So if they glorified God in the Old Testament with clapping, do you think it's all right for us to do so? So when somebody says, "Give the Lord a hand," is that okay? When somebody says, "Shout to the Lord," or "Shout out to the Lord," is that okay? Somebody says, "Sing to the Lord," is that okay? Bow down to the Lord? Everybody all right? How about this one? Reverence the Lord? Yeah, reverence the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." That word serve there It literally means worship. In the New Testament, you don't find a whole lot of outward worship. You know why most people don't? Because it's hidden in a word that's called serve. When you see the word serve, if you'll do a word study on it, in the New Testament, it means worship. Everybody all right? That, what is it in Romans chapter number 12? We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable, guess what that? Everybody all right? I'll get back to that verse. I'm going to move on. Lifting hands. Did you know it was biblical? And see, this was one thing that I was never taught growing up, but in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered amen and amen with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 8 said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." And then it says in the next verse, and I didn't put it down on here, but it says, "And the women likewise." And it goes into some things that they're supposed to do, but "the women likewise" refers back to that verse. So, if they lifted hands in Scripture, you reckon it's all right? An outward expression. How about playing instruments? Those that play instruments, according to the Bible, is worship. I know I'm telling it right. It says, "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp." Bible says in Psalm 150, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud," you ready? "Cymbals. And praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So we find worship in playing instruments. We find worship, is everybody ready for this one? In dancing. Ooh. Brother Kenny said, cool. The Bible says, "Let them praise his name in the dance." The Bible tells us in Psalm 150, "Praise him with the timbrel and dance." We know in 2 Samuel chapter number 6 that David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now y'all, an outward expression of worship found in our Bible is dance. Everybody all right? Now look, you didn't have no problem dancing when you was a drunk. He wasn't even drunk when he danced, she said. But yet, we're so reserved. Come on, y'all, help me now. I just want to show everybody that there are, I want to show you the different types. There's more. How about this offering? That was a form of worship in the Bible. We find in Genesis chapter number 22, the first mention of worship was Abraham offering his son back to the Lord. We find in Psalm chapter number 22, in verse number 25, the psalmist says it like this, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." So, we have outward expressions of worship in clapping of hands, in shouting, in singing, in bowing down in reverence and lifting hands, playing instruments, dancing, and an offering. But here, so let me ask you this before I move on. What do you think the church ought to do? Say, well, preacher, all that stuff's in the Old Testament. Yeah, when they were under the law. Let's bring that up. Let's talk about that for a minute. These people done something wrong. They got stoned to death. You and I experience the grace and the mercy of the Lord. How much more should we worship? David said, I will bless the Lord at, and yet how many times do we come to church and we can't even get out of an unholy grunt? Come on, y'all still look like, you still look like your mother-in-law moved in with you. I need some help. David said, at all times I'm going to bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means when I'm sitting in church, that means when I'm on the job site, that means when I'm in my house, in the woods. Well, I wouldn't recommend doing it while you're deer hunting, but how far away from God are we right now in our worship? We worship God only when it's convenient and only when things are going good. But I hope I've showed you through the Bible that outward expression of worship is okay. I was telling them last night, I went to Victory, and I've told this illustration in here before, but I went to Victory and I'd never been around any kind of worship like that in my life. I get there and people's raising their hands, and man, the first night I was there, somebody raised a hand. I looked over them like, they got a question? I'd never been in anything like that. It was very quiet in the church that I grew up in. I mean, the men wouldn't even grunt. And if they did, well, let me just hush. But anyhow, I grew up in that environment. So when I got up to Victory and these people were raising their hands, it was a bit of a shock. Then you had people holler, "Wah!" I mean, just, we had one dude, I was telling him last night, and Dalton, you remember him, Michelle, you remember him, Josh, Crable? Craddock. Josh would stand up there and man, he'd get them hands going. When we sang, what was the song that we sang? We sing it here. No, but he'd get up there in the middle of that song, and man, he'd go, "Woo! Woo!" And he'd do that about the whole song. I'm telling you, my voice just hurt doing it. And he'd do that the whole song. We had people that'd run. I got up there, and there was 5 aisles to this church, and man, one of the first services that we were there, people were standing up, people were shouting, people were carrying on, and 5 people broke out running. I mean, it looked like we needed a red light up at the front of the auditorium. People were running around the auditorium, 2,000 or 2,500 seat auditorium, these jokers are running around it. I'm talking about, listen here, you ran in that church, you better be in shape. Or the Holy Spirit better have a hold of you. Amen. I sat there and I looked at all of that and I thought, what foolishness. I never experienced anything like that. Never seen anything like that before in my life. Man, I struggled with it. I mean, to the point that I was questioning whether or not I was even in the right place. Calling friends up saying, hey man, I didn't call my pastor up because I didn't want nothing between him and the preacher up there. And I didn't want to call him up, so I called other guys up, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? These people are crazy. They raising their hand. They running laps. They shouting like they hurt or something. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I called Brother Mike Andrews. I said, Brother Mike, I said, do you raise your hand? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah. I said, you didn't when you was at church with me. He said, well, I got up here and I learned different. I said, well, Brother Mike, I don't know that I can do that. And I said this, I'll never forget on the phone with him. I said, Brother Mike, I got too much pride to raise my hand. I mean, that was my exact word, y'all. I'm not making the story up to add to it or anything like that. My exact word to him was, I have too much pride to do it. And as soon as I said it, the Holy Spirit said, is that right? Oh, yeah. I'm talking about as soon as I said it, I fell under conviction because I realized that I was letting my flesh, my pride, stand in the way of an outward expression of worship. I had to study that thing because I'd never been around it, so it wasn't natural. Y'all know what I'm talking about? First time you raise your hand, you'd be like, then you got to make sure you're doing it right. Everybody all right? It's awkward. Y'all, let's just be honest about it. It's a little awkward. You got some people? You gotta find your groove on it, right? And then sometimes people just take off running. Not me. But I remember we was at a camp meeting one night. We were sitting on the front row and Dalton took off running. Dalton ran across the front of the auditorium. I'm talking about 1,500 people there in the sawdust under out in the camp meeting, and Dalton takes off running, and Michelle just, I didn't get him up. What you want me to do about it? I sure ain't gonna beat the youngin' for worshiping the Lord how he felt like he needed to worship the Lord. And I'm not gonna make a scene. So me and Michelle just watched our little 12, 13 year old son run around the building in the sawdust. I was learning, man. I was like, all right, if it's okay to worship, and it's in the Bible, because I went back and I studied. Now, I didn't just take somebody's word for it. I had to go find where it was all right for me to worship. Because all my life I'd been taught that I couldn't. I had to be decent and in order. And by order, I meant under control. And so I had to figure out if it was all right for me to outwardly express what God was doing in my heart. Is it okay for me to do that? Once I figured out that it was okay for me to do that, once I realized that I could lift holy hands, once I realized that it was okay to clap, once I realized that it was okay to shout, once I realized it was okay to cry out with a loud voice, once I realized that it was all right to sing and make noise, then I had to do it. And here's the thing. Most people, because of charismatics, we have the mindset that the Holy Spirit is going to come on me and I'm going to worship. But I came to the conclusion in my studies that God would never make me worship Him. That I'm not a puppet. I have free will, and God's not going to make me worship Him. I am instructed, I am commanded to worship Him, but He ain't making me worship Him. And so then I had to figure out, okay, how am I going to do this? Because if God ain't going to get involved, and God ain't going to raise my hand, and if God ain't going to make me run, and if God ain't going to make me shout out, and if God ain't going to make me bow down, if God ain't going to do, how is this going to happen? Well, the only way that it's going to happen is I'm going to have to bring my pride and my flesh into submission to my spirit. That spirit that dwells within me. And I found out this. I had to make myself raise my hand. Now, you want to talk about something awkward. I had to sit next to a woman that never raised her hand either. I had to be the leader of my family. I had kids that were coming up behind me. And if I was going to teach them that they were to have an outward expression of worship towards the Lord, I was going to have to be the leader in that. Is everybody all right? Let me show you what I've done. Well, that's just hypocritical. God's not going to make you worship. You have to tell you to worship. You have to look at God and make an assessment that you're worthy of me humbling myself and lifting my hands to you, bowing my head to you, shouting of your greatness. Is everybody with me? I had to make that decision. I had to bring my flesh, because the flesh, it sure don't like to worship anything but the flesh. If you're waiting on the flesh to just make a decision all on its own that it's just going to worship the Lord, then you're going to sit here in services and wonder, why can't I get in on that? Is everybody all right? Now, let me say this, because it's part of my sermon, and we're done. But there's got to be an inward attitude of worship. Jesus, he said in Mark chapter number 7, and he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet, or prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Bible tells me, well, it goes on, it says, howbeit in vain do they worship me. And howbeit, listen to this, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So our worship can be in vain. And we know from 1 Samuel chapter number 16 that God, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. Okay? And so I have to have an inward attitude that's right for worship too. That inward attitude, and it has to be an attitude of love, because he first loved me. An attitude of thankfulness for his mercy, for his grace, for his forgiveness. Shall I go on? A reverence of his person and his sovereignty. An awe of his power. Fear of his greatness and duty, because we are his workmanship. I have a duty to worship God because he created me. No, y'all ain't ready for that. I have a duty. It's my responsibility to worship him because he created me. He breathed life into me. Yeah, I came from my mama just like you did, but he formed me. He created me. And I have a responsibility to my Creator to worship him. Now, all them other things, I worship him because he first loved me. I worship him, but yeah, is everybody all right? No matter what went on today, do you know that 2,000 years ago, there was one that came and died for you? Not one person in Washington, D.C. is going to die for you. Not one person in Washington, D.C. is going to have you and your best interest in their mind, in their scope of vision anyway. But before the foundation of the world, God was looking at what was best for you. And he provided the ultimate price to purchase your soul so that you could spend an eternity with him doing what? Now, that's what we're going to be doing, Brother Josh. When we get there, it ain't going to be, hey, I'll catch y'all later. I'm going to go fishing. All these people putting fishing stuff on their caskets and everything. Everybody all right? I don't want to make anybody mad. We ain't fishing in heaven. putting hunting stuff on there. Sorry, Colby. Sorry, y'all. We not hunting in heaven. Matter of fact, we get to heaven and we see the one that had died for us. Hunting and fishing is going to be. All the great hunters and the great fishers, fishermen of the past that are going on to be with the Lord right now, they're at it. I need somebody to help me. Right now, they're looking upon him in awe. And they're worshiping him. Is everybody with me? So, now we got to make a decision. We found in the Bible that there was outward expressions of worship, so it's okay for us to do something outward. We found out that we got to have a right attitude to do it. Now here's a question to all of us. Will we do it? We found out we have a responsibility to do it, so will we do it? Because too many of us are just like your preacher. Not too much pride to do that. You wouldn't say it out loud, because if you did, you'd be in the same spot I was. But eventually, God will reveal it to you. And I hope he has tonight, if that's what it is. But I pray that we, just like David, will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. I will boast. My soul will boast in the Lord. And those that are like me, the humble, they shall hear it, be glad of it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his great name. How many of us? Come, let's do this. Let's shed some pride. Let's shed some things. Let's get in tune with the Lord. And maybe tonight, before we lay our heads down on a pillow, some way, somehow, some form, we'll worship. Maybe we could do it like David, with all his might. Maybe we can do it like Israel, with a shout. Maybe we can do it like they are in heaven, with a loud voice. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you so much, Lord, for our church. Lord, I thank you for liberty to worship. Lord, this is a place, God, where, Lord, you've just chosen to sit. Lord, you've chosen to visit. God, I pray, Lord, that we never get to a place, Lord, where we shut you out. Lord, I'm reminded of verses in the Bible that says that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, though I'm not Israel, Lord, I'm yours. Bought with a price, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that I worship, Lord, with my voice, I worship with my hands, I worship with my feet. I worship with all that's in me. My heart, my soul, and all my might. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we'll see you for who you are. God, that we'll put a value, a worth on you that is far beyond, far above any worth that we place on ourselves. God, I pray that we recognize you as our creator and realize that we have a duty, a responsibility, God, to worship you as creation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless our time together. Lord, I pray that we would magnify you together.